Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Over the past 6 years this show has been on the air, there have been many women on as guests. Some have been business owners talking about their business. Others have been subject matter experts explaining the ins and outs of the subject. But what has never been the subject of one of these shows is the general state of women in small business. Things like how many women own a small business, what is the size of women-owned businesses in terms of employees and gross sales, and a lot more unanswered questions. But before I delve into the subject, let's take a look at some history about women in business. The history of female entrepreneurship reaches far back into the past, although many people are not familiar with that fact. The first well-documented businesswoman can be traced back as far as 1870 BC to the city of Azur in northern Iraq. Assyrian women at the time often contributed to vast trading networks that flourished in the region, showing that business was not exclusive to men. There are many other recent examples of women in business, too. Margaret Harden Broick, for example, arrived in what would become New York in 1659. She established herself as a debt collector before becoming a business agent. She traded between Holland and the colonies, eventually becoming the wealthiest woman in New York. Such stories are not uncommon as you might think. Throughout the 18th century, businesswomen traded in the major cities of the world. There are many examples of successful women entrepreneurs owning and running their own businesses. Mary Catherine Goddard became the first woman publisher in America in 1766. Madam C.J. Walker owned a million-dollar hair care business in the 1890s, and Coco Chanel opened her first boutique in 1913. However, during the mid-19th century, there was a shift in the labor force, which saw women focusing more on domestic tasks while men became the sole wage earners. Until recently, such traditional gender roles have persisted. In 1973, for example, there was only one female CEO of a Fortune 500 company, Katherine Graham. During this time, only 38% of the workforce in the United States was women. In 2019, that number had increased to 46.2%, while 37 Fortune 500 companies had a female CEO. Here are some statistics about women in business today. A quick glance at the numbers would tell you women small business owners are doing fine. The latest stats available, these are pre-COVID numbers, are from the National Women's Business Council. They show in 2019, women owned nearly 13 million businesses in the United States, about 42% of all companies, employing 9.4 million workers and generating $1.9 trillion in annual revenue. But if you look a little deeper, the numbers tell a different story. At the start of the COVID-19 pandemic from February to April 2020, the number of female-owned businesses dropped 25%, and only 10% of the businesses owned by women have employees. If we take a look at the state of women's business owners, we'll find women entrepreneurs are stressed. According to the 2021 Women Business Owners Spotlight from Bank of America, 90% of women small business owners say the COVID-19 pandemic has added stress to their business lives and created disproportionate challenges. These added stressors led to half the business owners surveyed changing their approach to employee wellness and benefits. Top changes included 61% of the women business owners enacted a more flexible work schedule. 45% allowed employees to work remotely. 23% increased the number of paid time off and vacation days, and 19% offered more paid sick days. To keep their employees on board during the pandemic, but perhaps adding to the stress, 48% of the women entrepreneurs cut their own pay. But they're also optimistic. Despite the stress, women business owners expect their revenues to grow over the next year, 61% compared to 31% in the previous year. In addition, 57% expect their local economies to improve, compared to 32% last year, and 50% think the national economy will get better as well, versus 28% in 2020. Access to capital remains an issue for women business owners. In a Groupon survey, Groupon reported that 54% of women entrepreneurs say they are held to a different standard than the male counterparts when accessing capital. Sharon Miller, president of small business at Bank of America, in an interview with Chabeli Caranzana, an economics reporter with 19thnews.org, said, "Women think they have to have it perfectly right before they go to the bank. Many men come in without having a concept. Women need to get to the bank sooner. Don't wait until it's perfect. Go now so you can get advice from professionals and learn what you'll need to do to get funding. It's never going to be perfect. Don't be afraid to come in." And research from the Kauffman Foundation shows women-owned startups pay higher interest rates and take on more collateral than similar businesses owned by men. For women seeking venture capital, the financial reality is even gloomier. According to a report from Babson College released last year, Catalyzing Change in Equity Investing, Disruptive Models of Financing Women's Entrepreneurship, the Diana International Impact Report, of the $130 billion venture capital funds invested, companies with a female CEO got less than 3% of the funding, and less than 0.2% of all venture capital funding went to women of color. While these numbers remain sadly steady, according to a report from Crunchbase, startups with all female founding teams received 2.4% in 2020 of venture capital investment dollars. And in 2021, it looks as if it will be the same. A report from Bank of America and Babson College, Beyond the Bucks, Growth Strategies of Successful Women Entrepreneurs, which is part of a more extensive research collaboration between Babson Center for Women Entrepreneurial Leaders and Bank of America Private Bank, says women need to create, and I quote, alternative paths to success for themselves. Lakshmi Balachandra, a PhD assistant professor of entrepreneurship at Babson College and the principal researcher on the project, says you can, quote, turn the challenges into opportunities by building on your own skills and strengths. The report recommends entrepreneurial women to explore various capital alternatives, develop a sustainable and talented workforce, buy from women-owned businesses, be a mentor, seek a mentor, and join or create new networks. There are several venture capital firms led by women or with a solid record of investing in women-owned businesses. Find them. They should not be the only options, but they should be priorities. Two companies that invest in women-led companies are 37 Angels and Bell Capital. In addition, 37 Angels compiled a list of lending resources specifically for female entrepreneurs. There are numerous resources women business owners can turn to. You can compare how your small business is doing with other companies in your state or across the country in the newly released Small Business Revenue Index from Cabbage. In partnership with Seneca Women, Bank of America just launched the Bank of America Access to Capital Directory. This platform helps educate women-owned business owners to navigate the capital landscape and identify potential sources of funding such as equity, debt, and grant capital. In the Women Business Owner Spotlight Report, 24% of the women business owners said that mentors were beneficial for helping guide through the past year. And again, with an interview with Chabeli Caranzana, Bank of America's Sharon Miller said she encouraged women business owners to make it a priority to build a strong network of peers and mentors. A strong network provides women with an opportunity to connect and share both common and novel experiences, which is immensely helpful, especially for women entrepreneurs looking to get their feet off the ground and grow their business. In addition, a solid network can unlock access to resources, expertise, and unexpected opportunities, all of which can help women thrive. And, of course, women business owners or startups can turn to SCORE to help guide them. The gender funding gap is an important issue. Without equal access to capital, women business owners do not have equal opportunities to grow, innovate, or scale, limiting their ability to succeed. This is a contributing factor to why so few women business owners earn more than $1 million annually. To help women in small business, the federal government is making a new investment in women-owned small businesses. In December of 2021, the Small Business Administration announced it is elevating its Office of Women's Business Ownership to report directly to the SBA Administrator, raising its profile and power. As listeners of this program know, the Small Business Administration is the federal agency that supports entrepreneurs. With this elevation of the Office of Women Business Ownership, the SBA is putting a greater focus on women business owners than ever before in the agency's history. Women-owned small businesses, and particularly businesses owned by women of color, have been growing at the fastest clip of any group. The past 2 years have decimated small businesses and brought into stark relief the barriers still facing the fastest-growing group of owners. Since it was founded in 1979, the SBA's Office of Women Business Ownership has played a role in trying to support women entrepreneurs in their communities. The office offers training, helping with federal contracts and financing support. But that role has often been second tier to other SBA priorities, such as the Office of Entrepreneurial Development, which currently oversees the Women's Business Office. This elevation, to report directly to the SBA Administrator Isabella Casillas Guzman, brings it on a par with other larger SBA offices, including its Office of Veterans Business Development, giving it more power to elevate the needs of women business owners. The change is expected to be finalized by the end of 2022. Natalie Madeira Cofield, the current Assistant Administrator to the Office of Women's Business Ownership, told the 19thNews.org, "What it does say, as women entrepreneurs, we see you. We see your rapid growth. We see your concerns. We see your needs, and we're elevating that to the immediacy of the administrator's attention. Here is a proper seat at the table for the agenda of women." It should also be noted that Ms. Cofield is also the first black woman to lead the office. In 2020, there was a 24% year-over-year increase in the number of people filing to start a business, 4.3 million. A study by LinkedIn found that the number of women-owned businesses on its platform had grown by 27% during the pandemic, compared with 17% for men and 17% for non-binary business owners. In some cities and states, regulations around home business have eased during the pandemic to give more people an avenue to start a business. This easing has led women and people of color to seek out that option because of the lower cost to entry. Still, among the 13 million women businesses owned in the United States, nearly all of them are very small. 90% have no employees, according to data from the SBA. Accessing bank loans and capital remains the top concern for women-owned startups, which, as I mentioned earlier, get between 2 and 3% of all venture capital funds. Even new programs like the Paycheck Protection Program, established during the pandemic to reach smaller businesses, have failed to reach women businesses as a result of long-standing challenges such as having established banking relationships. Improving access to capital, counseling, training, and federal contracts are priorities for Ms. Guzman. The office's new role will also come with additional flexibility to try to find creative ways to support business owners. In a December 2019 interview, Ms. Guzman said, "We are looking internally at the SBA to see how we can better support women to have stronger outcomes in their entrepreneurial pursuits. We want to be strategic about making sure we meet those women's business owners where they are, and oftentimes there's a different approach that needs to be taken to make sure that they're getting the capital that they need. Though she be little, she is fierce." This is a famous quote from William Shakespeare that's now true of women owning and running micro-businesses. And it's women, not men, who are often dominating the micro-business world, according to Small Biz Genius. Micro-businesses are by definition small, with only up to 9 employees, and often just run by one person, but they're certainly making a big global impact, including massive contributions to world economies. A report from the International Labor Organization, Small Matters, Global Evidence on the Contribution to Employment by Self-Employed Micro-Enterprises and Small to Medium Enterprises, states that in high-income countries, 58% of total employment is from small businesses. Forbes states that in the European Union, micro-businesses make up half of small businesses. According to the International Labor Organization, in emerging and developing economies, over 2/3 of total employment is from small businesses. It's a trend that could keep growing, thanks to the changing workplace landscape and new technologies. Lots of people want to make that leap from employee to entrepreneur. 8 out of 10 people, in fact, according to a study done by AXA Business Intelligence. Lumen Learning states that growing your own business gives people greater economic independence and higher financial rewards than working for someone else. Without these income restraints, entrepreneurs can often hit much higher incomes. When business is booming for a freelancer and a woman has years of experience behind her, working for someone else could be restrictive to true success. There could be a limit to how much freelancers can grow their client base and how much they charge. As a micro business owner, this limit is often removed and the possibilities could be endless. Freelancers get paid for their work. If you're a freelance copywriter, you get paid when you work. Entrepreneurs use other people's money to build a business bigger than themselves, so they get paid when they sleep. In a few weeks, we'll be in March, and March is Women's History Month. So maybe it's an appropriate time for women entrepreneurs to start pondering on what they can do to get ahead. In most respects, male and female business owners, whether running small businesses or launching visionary ventures, are pretty similar. On the whole, they're competitive, smart, risk-takers, collaborative, and leaders. But there are differences. As a SCORE mentor, I have counseled both men and women entrepreneurs. I often see male entrepreneurs stride into the room confident of their ideas and themselves, whereas I often see women more hesitant. When it comes to growth, women seem more hesitant while many of the men are eager, often wanting to expand beyond their capabilities. I know that what I just said is generalization. There are scores of men and women who don't fit these generalizations. Nevertheless, there are some things women entrepreneurs and small business owners can learn from men that can help them grow bigger companies if they want. Here are some examples of what can be done. Concentrate on what you have, not what you lack. Male entrepreneurs tend to be confident, if not cocky, about their capabilities, while women tend to downplay their accomplishments. I have a friend who is an HR hiring manager who told me, if there are 10 qualifications for a job, a man will apply if he has one. A woman won't apply if she's missing one. Toot your own horn. Women have a hard time promoting themselves, especially in a one-on-one or small group settings. It's tough to do this gracefully, but work on it. Sheila Ronning, founder of Women in the Boardroom, once said, I've called dozens of men and women for comments on newsworthy events within their expertise. More than half of the ridiculously high-qualified women I spoke with told me they weren't expert enough to comment. No man has ever said that to me, even when he was far less qualified. Charge more. Even when women set their own fees, they tend to make less money than men for the same work. A study by the accounting firm FreshBooks showed that self-employed females who set their own rates as freelancers made 28% less than their male counterparts. Some of this is due to the fact that women in some cases rightly know they can't charge as much as their male competitors and land the client. But it's also partially due to women's undervaluing their own worth. Move faster. Based on my experience, women are more strategic. Men, quicker to action. For example, a company I worked for hired 2 social media interns at the same time. The male intern immediately started posting on social media sites. The female first determined the best audience and most relevant topics. The male intern got us higher numbers. The female intern brought us more valuable targets. Women often go ready, aim, 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 fire, while men are firing away. Sometimes you just have to pull the trigger. Go for the gold, not for the glamour. Women generally want their business to have intrinsic value, to accomplish something important that they have an emotional connection to. Men are far more willing to just make money. Often that means following the opportunities that seem, well, boring. Of course, I'm not saying that your work shouldn't have meaning or that women should only care about making money, but there are plenty of non-glamorous businesses that both make a contribution to society and make you money. There's also a long list of attributes male entrepreneurs could emulate from women. they can listen and learn more, seek others' advice, be better at multitasking, give more priority to work-life balance, both for themselves and their employees. They can be more strategic and less rash. And guys, you could be a bit more humble. And before I sign off for this week, here are a few more facts about women-owned businesses. Between 2018 and 2019, U.S. women started an average of 1,817 new businesses per day, representing 42% of all businesses. Over the past 5 years, the number of women-owned businesses went up 21%, more than double the increase of 9% for all businesses. Entrepreneurship grew by 99% among African-American women, 70% among Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander women, and 63% among Asian-American women. Small businesses are a major part of the American economy, and women appear to run them better. Small businesses fuel job growth, generate taxes, and make up a large percentage of American business overall. While immigrants and other groups have carved out a large portion of this segment of the economy, a newly released survey suggests that even a bigger demographic contributes to the small business landscape, women. When looking at the overall block of women-owned businesses, researchers find that their efforts were largely focused in three main industries. Approximately 2.8 million businesses, or 22% of all women-owned businesses, were found in other services, like hair and nail salons and pet care. Roughly 15% of all women-owned businesses, approximately 1.9 million businesses, were in the healthcare and social assistance industries, which largely consist of child daycare and home healthcare services. Professional, scientific, and technical services like legal, bookkeeping, and public relations firms make up approximately 15% of all women-owned businesses, with 1.6 million businesses in this segment. While they make up most of women-owned business groups, those three industries don't generate most money, researchers found. That distinction goes to the wholesale trade, retail trade, and professional, scientific, and technical services. While small business owners tend to look at their ventures as their main source of income, many of the women who start their own business opt to make it a source of extra income. For them, the side hustle is real, with researchers finding that sidepreneurship is growing at a rate that is nearly twice as fast as the overall growth in female entrepreneurship over the past 5 years. The largest group of women fueling that burst in growth are those in the minority groups, who saw their business growth explode 2 times higher than all businesses, 65% to 32%. According to the report, side entrepreneurship has grown by 99% for African American women, 70% for Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander women, 63% for Asian American women, 46% for Latina and Hispanic women, and 36% for Native American and Alaskan Native women. Census data shows that 39% of all women in the U.S. are women of color, but that group makes up 89% of the women-owned businesses created each day over the past year. That growth among businesses owned by women of color, according to the study, occurred in nearly every category. The large majority of women-owned businesses employ at least one person other than themselves. 46% employ 2 to 5 people, while another 19% of women-owned businesses have between 6 and 10 employees. 14% of the respondents employ between 11 and 50 employees, and the business owner is the only employee in the remaining 20%. Finding a work-life balance is difficult for women business owners, even in non-pandemic times. They wear so many hats within their businesses, like CEO, to salesperson, to HR, and everything in between. For women business owners, this past year hammered home the importance of finding opportunities to take a break and unplug from the daily stress of owning a business. From making time to do enjoyable activities, prioritizing time with family and friends, adopting healthy lifestyles, or unplugging from the news. With women-owned businesses representing over a third of total small business in the United States, investing in their success has never been more important. Women entrepreneurs are fundamental to driving strong, healthy economies. To create opportunities for these entrepreneurs to thrive and lead, it's critical to understand their priorities, everyday realities, and challenges. As women entrepreneurs accelerate the growth of their business and revitalize our local economy, we all need to remain committed to their success all year long. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a business topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show, you may contact me at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They have been doing this for over 50 years. Because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, and thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they are able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information about how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit OceanCounty.score.org. OceanCounty.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. Score Business Points is a production of the Ocean County Chapter of SCORE at 91.9 WBNJ.